racism and religiosity. So when you were born, if you were born in the United States, and in order to fill out your birth certificate, they were required to indicate your race. Now, and also every 10 years, the Census Bureau mails out its questionnaire, and if you're going to answer question number 6, you have to indicate your race. If you've had children and they have attended or attend public school, at some point in the enrollment process, they've had to indicate their race. Every public school system in the nation is required by law to keep track of academic performance by race. So if you don't indicate your child's race, the school will actually just fill it out for you. And while it is illegal for corporations, governments, and other institutions to discriminate based on race, statistically, your race plays a role when you're looking for a job, seeking a neighborhood in which to live, attempting to sell a house, expressing an opinion in the public, getting an education for yourself or your children, interacting with the police, defending yourself in court, facing the death penalty. The list can go on and on. The bottom line is that race will impact your life in more ways than you tend to think about in the United States. That's just the reality. Race plays a profound role in all aspects of life in the U.S. And when you stop to think about it, that is an absolutely astounding thing, considering that race, at least biologically speaking, doesn't actually exist. You see, for hundreds of years, scientists assumed that race was a biological reality because people look different and to the naked eye, different skin color, different hair texture, different facial structures. So they thought there must be some biological backing for different races. But literally, hundreds of scientific studies in the last 40-some years have demonstrated that there is no significant genetic differences between human beings, regardless of different skin color, hair, and facial structures. Yet, here we are, a week after the insanity that happened in Charlottesville and the equally insane response from our government, with a whole segment of our society who seem like they are more than ready and willing to start another civil war, all for the sake of something that biologically simply isn't a reality. Sort of makes me wonder if evolution has stopped working. But what it really makes me wonder is, how is there so much support for this kind of thing? What piece of our society continues to push and support such a backwards way of thinking? Well, this may not be the answer, but I think it's one of the answers. A recent analysis led by Wendy Wood, who is I'm going to read this to get it just right, Provost Professor of Psychology and Business at USC College and the USC Marshall School of Business. Her study found a positive correlation between religiosity and racial biases. The analysis, what she did, she went back and she looked at data from 55 different studies on religion and racism in America, dating all the way back to the Civil Rights Act. She combined those together with and had more than 22,000 participants, mostly white Protestant, which is important. Protestant. Most of the support that we have seen for the racially biased government right now comes from the more conservative evangelical Christian movement, not the Protestant. So this is just about the Protestant movement. It's going to be even more extreme in the evangelical movement that we're seeing more from right now. As the study reports, and I'm going to quote this, a meta-analytic review of past research evaluated the link between religiosity and racism in the United States since the Civil Rights Act. Religious racism partly reflects intergroup dynamics. That is, a strong religious in-group identity within the system was associated with degradation of out-group racial groups. So outside groups that weren't part of the formed group. Other races might, it says, be treated as out-groups because religion is practiced largely within race. because training in a religious in-group identity promotes general ethnocentrism and becomes different as others appear to be in competition for other resources. And it concludes saying, in addition, religious racism is tied to the basic life value of social conformity and respect for tradition. Now, recognize here what the study did not find was that religion causes racism. Basically, its findings say that religion is fertile soil for those who have tendencies towards racism. Progressive Christian author Anne Lamott put it this way: you can safely say that you created God in your own image when it turns out that God hates all the same people you do. Or as I once put it, if your religion doesn't challenge you to care for people you might otherwise be dismissive of, and instead it reinforces your negative feelings about them, you don't have a religion. You have a formalized structure for institutionalizing your biases. Basically, when it isn't practiced with intelligence and compassion, religion can be used as an authoritative confirmation for our biases. Without the humanist perspective of critical thinking and the innate value of each individual, perverting religious outlooks to suit personal prejudices is far too easy. Now, add to it the dogmatic environment of most churches, and it can be almost the perfect petri dish for growing cultures of racism. But putting racism into the hands of God also makes life easier when you're confronted with social injustices. If you can blame a group's oppression on the retribution of an angry God or some sort of inherent deficiency, then you really don't have any responsibility in it. And you'd be foolish to go up against God, right? And not only that, you don't have to feel about the privileges that have been extended to you when you choose not to extend them to other people who have already been judged by God in your mind. The harsh reality of race and religion in America is that religion has become a cover for racism. We all like to think that the idea of separate but equal is something from a bygone era. That segregated lunch counters, race-divided bathrooms, and signs reading whites only are accepted concepts that ultimately died out in America decades ago. Except, the studies prove that they haven't died out. A public religion research institute survey found that 10% of Americans believe that business owners should be able to refuse to serve black people if they see that as a violation of their own personal religious beliefs. Men were actually slightly more likely to agree than women, and Catholics slightly more than Protestants. 10% of the population may not seem like a lot until you calculate it out and realize it's 32 million people who believe that businesses should be able to discriminate based on race. And it also points to how racism and the concept of segregation are sadly still alive and well some 50 years after the end of Jim Crow. Yes, in the past 5 decades since the peak of the civil rights movement, some racial policies have changed. For example, workplace discrimination has been outlawed, but let's never forget that that doesn't mean prejudice has disappeared. It turns out that it's quite the opposite. The reality is that racial discrimination is now being touted as religious freedom. A similar argument is expected actually to be made in front of the Supreme Court in October as a baker tries to claim he has the right to not provide a gay couple with a wedding cake on a religious basis. Now, in those poll numbers that I mentioned earlier, a portion of the respondents said that it's okay to refuse services to gays and lesbians. As a matter of fact, 16% agreed that it is acceptable, including 19% of men and 21% of Republicans and 26% of white evangelicals. Now, on a related note, Americans were also willing to accept other forms of discrimination. 15%, including 19% of Republicans and 21% of white evangelicals, said that it's okay to deny services to atheists. And 12% said the same thing about Jews. As I've said, if your religion doesn't challenge you to care for the people you might otherwise be dismissive of, and instead, it reinforces your negative feeling about them. You don't have a religion. You have a formalized structure for institutionalizing your biases. You can wrap the law around it any way you want. You can call it religious freedom, freedom of speech, whatever you want. No matter what you call it, it remains morally repugnant and devoid of any God that I would ever care to worship. There is no space in a healthy spiritual community for racism, or for that matter, anything that pits one group over and against another group. That kind of thinking, that kind of acting, stands over and against everything that can grow a person or a community spiritually. That kind of thinking plays to the lowest form of human pettiness and uses religion as a weapon rather than a bomb. It is a bastardization of spirituality and must be actively resisted at every turn and cast out like the demon that it is. Now, it does not mean that we stop seeking to care about those who practice it. That would put us in a similar place of denying people for being different than us. But it does mean not sitting silently by when it's being practiced. It does mean actively resisting it in our churches and in our communities. It is time for racism's religious cover to end. We must call it out every time we see it. We must call it out when we see it being done in the name of God. We must insist that our representatives stop supporting it with discriminating religious freedom laws. We must persist and standing up to hate at every turn, and instead extending grace, acceptance, and love.